Okay, we're holding on somethalophone base. We're going to go through the definition of, we were just talking about it before you gentlemen walked in. Ezohi alelas, or alelis, what's koshen lakoset v'loy netef. Alelos by grapes are if you don't have any shoulder and no dripping. Okay, now we're going to explain in a second what that is. Yesh lakosef of lo netef, netef lo kosef, valbias, if it's missing only one of them, then it is valbosses. V'im sofek laniyim, and if it's a doubt, if it's doubtful whether whether they were both missing or not, we of course give it to the laniyim.
Why is that so?
We always said, throughout all sveikas, lager tazov osam, that whenever there's a doubt, you always give it to them. Normally you'd say, nemotzim chavirol v'haraya, there's an exeris hakosov that by matnas aniyim we say that the suffix goes to the ani. Ezohi kosef, what is meant by shoulder? Psigin zual gabizu. So that's the smaller clusters, which are make up the whole master cluster. So each one is lying one on top of the next. So that's like it's like leaning on a shoulder. Ezohi netef, what's meant by dripping? So that's hatluyus b'shidra v'yardos. That means those are the grapes that hang down off of the central stem, right? At the bottom of the stem of the cluster of grapes, there's no addition add-on stems from which the grapes grow. Rather, they grow right directly out of that stem. So that's called the drippings. There are other pshatim here, but that's the way we're going to learn for now. Rabba b'shem Rav Yehuda v'hein shahon, whatever. That's only if you can contact all of the grapes with the palm of your hand. So if the cluster is too large, so that if you put your hand around it, you're not able to grab the entire cluster, that means there's too many grapes, and therefore, in that case, even if it doesn't have kotei for netef, it doesn't make a difference. That will belong to the baal bayis. In other words, if it has these two characteristics that normally go to the ani, but it's large enough so that you cannot hold the whole thing in one hand, then you get to keep it due to the size. Alokin amar Reb Chiya, but Reb Chiya said otherwise, because we're going to quote a Maisa here with Olalus where he talks about something which is quite a large size. Maisa Shoshoklo Olalus, Achas Sheva Litro Ispitsipari. That they weighed a single olos and it weighed 7 liters. And I think he says the size, he gives the size on the bottom someplace. Where did I see this? One second, anything on the bottom? 7? Yeah, a liter is a weight equal to a mana. Anyway, so I came over here. A liter is equivalent to about 14.1 ounces, which is a pound, 14 ounces. And this says how many liters? It was 7 liters. So it was therefore, according to this, it was just under 7 pounds. So you're talking about a Olelis cluster that weighs 7 pounds. That's quite a bit of grapes. You're not going to be able to put your hand around that. So that's the point here. So that contradicts of Yehuda, who said that that if you put your hand around it, it's no longer considered obelus. Okay, Amar Rav Chinuna, Shem Nisana, Al Gavi Tavla, he has a different kind of measure, apparently. And he says, actually, I mean, the way he puts it in the English, he's making like, because of this question that we're asking Rav Yehuda, so therefore Rav Chinuna is coming up with like a different measure. I'm not 100% sure. But basically what he said was the underdeveloped clusters onto a writing tablet. Now, how big is a writing tablet? Let's assume that this is where...
iPad Pro?
iPad. An iPad. A mini iPad. Whatever it is. So it's about that size. And if they all come into contact with the tablet, if you put it down, if it's too large, then it's not always... something like that. It's an 8, he says, it's retracting the previous ruling regarding the maximum size. Instead of requiring that no measure, that the measure no longer than the size, no larger than the size of a person's hand, it has a different size here, which is a writing tablet, which he says in parentheses, was a standard size well known in Talmudic times. So they don't tell us what it is.
So an obelus is always flat?
No. No. You're going to take your cluster, and you're going to lie it down on the surface of that book, for instance, and if it goes over the size, so that shows you it's too large.
So obelus is always left on the vine.
Yeah, but these got picked already because right. He's measuring them.
You're asking if you see it is in this, if it is a status of parrot va'olos.
Right.
So you'll leave it for the aniyim.
Is that what you're asking? Yeah, I'm asking how it's done.
Seems reasonable. I guess you wouldn't pick it. I didn't think about this question about that. I mean, we know that the parrot is the stuff that falls out on the ground. Right. So that we know they're collecting from the ground. This one, I guess you'll see the way it's shaped, and you won't pick it and let the aniyim come and pick it. I guess so. You agree with that? Yeah.
You don't
I
pick guess it because so. It's little bit. It's not a lot.
What's that? Yeah. They're gonna be putter. Any matnas aniyim will be putter from maisers.
So if the Bala Bas, if he kind of just eyeballs it and gives and leaves it as olos, he could be getting the ani in trouble. Because if it really doesn't belong to them because it's too big, then it's going to be chayav and meiser.
That's correct. That's a possibility, yeah. So you're going to have to be careful to leave it the right way, I guess. We had this same question by Rus, right? We talked about it at length.
I mean, it's hard to believe that it's an achet if you gave them the whole thing rather than only giving them
10%
of it.
Yeah, well, it's not so. But if you leave them something which doesn't really belong to them and it's just a matana, then it's chayav and maaseris and you're leaving it for them. So if you hold like Beis Shammai, who holds Hefker and Eim Hefker, says no problem. If you hold like Beis Hillel, then it is a problem. So, okay.
I guess they have an obligation also not to pick it then.
Or they'll take it to their local Oni rabbi, who will pass it on each cluster and tell them, this one you're going to have to take Shrus and Isis off of. This one's Gneva, you have to return it to the Bailam. I'm not sure what the psak would be. Yeah. But it's a good question. I have to look into that, I guess, to whether... Because it says, the Pasuk said, if you remember, we had a Pasuk... remember? Yeah, the pasuk was Kisisar Kamrocha Losa Olel Acharecha. It sounds like
Don't go back
and leave it there. So I think it's still going to be attached. That's my gut feeling is that it's all attached. Okay. So now we're going to talk about, pay close attention to this Gemara Tzvi. Ben Levi Shinasmana Le Maiser Tevel. If a Levi had Maiser Rishon, that was Tevel. In other words, right, the Levi gets Maiser, and from the Maiser, the Levi has to take off Trumas Maiser. So he gives 10% of his Maiser to the Kohen. Kozman, he hasn't taken his Trumas Maiser. The Maiser is Tevel, and is Osam Bachilo, right? So now... This Ben Levi has Meiser Tevel. He has Meiser, which is Tevel, meaning you haven't taken off the Trumas Meiser. And he finds in his grouping here, he was given this by other Yisraelim, he finds in this big pile of grapes, he's finding stuff which is really Olalus. This is a valid Olalus candidate. It was picked by accident, I guess, and given to me as Meiser. So what does he do? What's he going to do with this? So it's really, according to what we're, let's just speak it out without looking at the Gemara. What would you say the Pesach is?
He has to give Meiser.
He goes back to the Yisrael and exchanges it for non-Ololos.
So you're saying you go back to the Yisrael and give it back to him. Okay, that's not going to be what we're going to say.
Okay.
let's say that's not a possibility for now. But what you would, what I would have said is, well, this is Pater from Trumas and Maestris. because it belongs to the Oni. Should have gone direct to the Oni. I would have said that the Levi should give this to the Oni. Shouldn't he? He has stuff that doesn't belong to him.
Give it to the Oni.
Now the Yisrael has Tevel by himself.
That's correct. Now you're right. Now that reduces the 10% that the Yisrael was supposed to give him, and whatever that percent is he hasn't been mafresh kinegdoi, and he's got a Tevel problem on his hands. He has Tevel on his hands. That's another problem. You're right. All these are good problems. I mean, problems are not good, but it's good understanding of the Gemara. So now let's see what the Gemara says. This Gemara is going to say something really wild. The Gemara says, "Hare ze oise oison trumas meiser b'makom acher." So what does he do? He takes this meiseration and he uses it as trumas meiser on other meiseration in another location. So you're like, you're using this. You're not going to take Trumas Meiser. So let's see. Let's read number 10. Let's see. He designates all the untithed Meiseration grapes, including the Ololos, as Trumas Meiser upon other Meiseration grapes that he owns. Okay. Now that he's done that, now the Tevel designation is removed from both sets of grapes. Those mixed with the ololos become trumas meiser, and they're given to a kohen. The others are mutter for consumption. It sounds like we're treating it just like regular ordinary meiser, right? Why is he being makbid to do it on makom acher? What are we accomplishing with that? I'm not sure. Without this ruling, what would you have said? You would have said
have to divide out the consequence of this pile in front of me as tevel.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're treating it, okay, just one second. Without this ruling, what would you have said? You would have thought that the olos are property of the poor, unfit to be used as trumas meiser. So the Gemara says that they can be used for this purpose.
Where did they come up with that?
Why should it be that way? Why should they use something that doesn't belong to them to get them off the hook for trumas meiser?
Yeah. And then he asked, presumably, you could have taken the ololos out of the pile of meiser and used those ololos as trumas meiser from that pile of grapes itself. What do you have to go makom acher for? It's not clear why the Gemara specifies the former case. I mean,
doesn't makom acher mean just another pile that doesn't include the suffix?
100%. That's exactly what it means. So I've got two piles of meiseration. I've got one pile of mice, both of them are tevel. One pile has ololos, one pile does not have ololos. And what we're saying is, let's say there's 10 times, it's 10 times the size of that pile, right? So this pile has 100 clusters, this pile has 10 clusters. In the 10 clusters, there's ololos. We're saying take the 10 clusters, use those as trumas meiser on this other pile of 100 clusters, and give it to the kohen. Now the kohen has the original meiser plus the olos. And apparently the olos are going to be masakin.
The olos are going to be viewed as something that belong to the Levi.
Yeah, right.
That's the chiddush.
So that's a huge chiddush. Now,
is a Levi considered an ani?
No, that's a good point. Because the Levi doesn't own any property. But not a Levi has to be a bona fide ani to be considered a poor person. So, now the Gemara is going to ask a question right away. Okay, so let's take a look. Va'ololos lav shel anihu? Frank, the Gemara, aren't the ololos the property of the poor? The Gemara is really bothered by this question. I mean, it's really, it's such an obvious question. But in footnote 11, he starts trying to work out what exactly the Gemara was asking. It seems to me that it's such a simple thing. In the Maram Chaviv over there on the bottom of there in footnote 11, he says, if the olos belong to the poor, the grower should never have been able to designate them as meiser in the first place. That's what we've been saying. Accordingly, both the original produce from which the meiser was taken and the meiser grapes mixed should remain tevel. What's going on over here? Right?
What's that?
Yeah. So now the Gemara is going to answer the question. Now, all our questions are going to be answered with this one line over here. Rav Avi b'shem Rabbanin de Tamon ani Omer im hanekratzos im ha'esh kolos. That what? Even though we said olalos, we kind of fooled you a little bit. It's not really olalos. It's the form of the olalos. But we had the one case that we had before in the Gemara.
Save time.
That if you want to save time, and if it gets nekrotos, if it gets pulled, schlepped with the original stem that you cut, that is not considered olos, and therefore it doesn't belong to the ani. So this whole case is like, okay. So now we have no hiddish at all. Maybe, you know, like what's the conversation about? Why is he giving us advice how to take the Trumas Meiser? This is very strange.
Just to get you to think.
To get us to think. Yeah, they certainly did that. Okay, let's go on. Gaga Yechidi. So we said this was the Shita of Rabbi Huda. If you had individual grapes growing along the master stem, that those were, there was a question whether they were or not olalos. I think Rabbi Huda said it belongs to the Baal Bayis, if I recall correctly. And the Chachamim disagreed with him. They said it goes to the Ani. I think that's what. So Rabbi Simon, behind Rabbi Huda, what's his reason? V'nishar bo olalos b'nokev sayis shnayim shloshah gargarim. That there's this pasuk in Yeshaya or something? Yeah, in Yeshaya, that says that there will be left upon it olalos, like one who harvests an olive tree and leaves two or three single fruits at the top of the highest bough. So it refers to olos with two or three single fruits. Yosemite cane, eshkol, more than two or three is considered a cluster. In other words, if you have multiple single grapes growing off of a stem, you see it belongs to the Baal Bayis. That's going to be Rabbi Huda's drasha. Okay, now we're going to be talking about stories that have to do with Eretz Yisrael for the next blot. So hold on, Baruch Hashem, we worked hard. Now you get your reward. Dolma, so here comes the stories. Rabbi Abu, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Avor al Kram Doran. So they're passing past this Doran vineyard. Apek lahon arisu chadu parsika.
What's the Bavli equivalent?
Ma'isa Shahaya. Yeah. So the Aris brings out a single peach, a parsika, a single peach from the orchard. So Achlan imen v'chamarehino. This was such a large peach that they ate it. Their donkey drivers ate it. And now we're on Tzach Bezo and Aleph. Hold everything, please.